Visiting now with Pat Kerwin. He, of course, is from Sirius XM NFL Radio, CBS Sports, former NFL personnel man. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Vic, and you have got a primo spot here at the owners' meetings.
I love this.
There is no escape. Everyone will have to stop by and talk to the Browns.
That was the strategy. That's how we did this. So let's talk, first of all, about these meetings and about some of the things that have been talked, that rules changes and such, sure, that could occur. The one that stands out to me, and I guess makes the most sense, taking the overtime rule that is implemented in the postseason and moving it to the regular season. How do you feel?
I like the idea. First, I like consistency. I think if you're going to have it for one, have it for everything. I just don't like the rule as it is. I think most of the American people thought last year there was going to be an opportunity after the initial touchdown was scored. So maybe we didn't do a very good job of explaining it. But I do like, if we're going to have it, let's have it for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and make it uniform. And because the games that, first of all, in the NFL, every game does count. I mean, to get to that opportunity,
sure,
in the postseason, the importance of those regular season games is such that they shouldn't be treated as, quote, anything less important than the postseason games. And that's what it seems like when you put the OT rules only in the
playoffs. I say this, though. I think the intent originally was that since we play two-platoon football, that I was going to get a chance. If I'm a Colt fan, I was going to, at the time, get a chance to see Peyton Manning, now Andrew Luck, of course, come out and take one shot at it. I think we missed the opportunity for great suspense. So what if the first team scores a touchdown on their first drive? I still would like to see Tom Brady come out on a field, and we all know, all over America, he has to score a touchdown,
right,
to tie the game up. And we don't have that opportunity, because if the first team scores a touchdown, it's over. So I would like it to be expanded to each team. And that's what I thought we were going to do. Each team was guaranteed a possession, and we don't really have that.
Another proposal being considered at these meetings is booth review only for replay, as opposed to having an official do so on the field. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it won't pass. I would like it to pass. I think the college system is way better than the NFL system. It's faster. It's cleaner. In the world of technology, I think you'd be better off with the guy in the booth. The old concept, I sat in these owners' meetings as a club member,
right,
and listened to the logic that we can't take the power away from the official on the field. The reality is the power has been away from him for years. It's in the hands of the fans with better technology than he has. I'm all for the booth guy. And I'll tell you the other part of it. They would be my full-time employees. Hmm. The older officials who really can't run anymore, that right, have great experience, you hire those guys. You need about 15 or 16 of them. You have them. And they're the full-time guys watching video all week in New York.
Right.
And now they're doing the booth reviews from upstairs. Much better for the game, much cleaner, and no more of these. No fans want to see anymore this meeting on the field of the Zebras.
The rules regarding injured reserve, roster sizes and such, and basically I think giving teams more flexibility when it comes to having key players injured and then having accessibility to them, as opposed to now when a guy gets hurt, placed on IR, he's done for the year. Any sort of modifications here? I know you and I have talked a lot,
yes,
about this, about how limited teams are with their rosters, especially in training camp when you're running out of body, so to speak, to set your final 53. But how do you feel in general about the roster manipulation and the IR?
Yeah, I love the opportunity for 90 in camp. Bruce Allen and I talked about it 10 years ago. Because I'm training players.
From 80 to 90.
Yeah. But the problem I have with this one already is we're counting the drafted players unsigned as part of the 90.
Okay.
So that really waters it down.
Okay.
The reality, though, is you have X amount of hours of teaching time. So to put 90 in the teaching environment of the summer and train them, and then when I release them, have players that know what I'm doing available for me to re-sign, is a beautiful idea. Because once you sign them in September, if they had not been in your camp, you can't teach them.
Sure.
They're in a hurry-up position the whole time. So I love that part. Secondly, I love the whole idea of being able to be flexible on the IR. The reason, I'll go all the way back to the beginning of the first CBA, was we were afraid of cheaters. It was all about the taxi,
sure,
squad and hiding players and all that business. And they felt this is going to stop that. Paying customers who pay what they pay to watch a game live or at home, and the star quarterback gets hurt opening day, and about week 10 we see him on the sideline jogging, but he can't play anymore because we put him on IR. I'm glad we're going to get rid of that opportunity and do something there. Of course, I'd like it to be bigger than it is,
right,
but I'll start with this.
Pat Kerwin joining us from SiriusXM NFL Radio, CBS Sports, also former personnel man with the New York Jets, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily Driven by Liberty Ford. Pat, when you think about this draft fast approaching and the intrigue, I think now has left the top two spots.
Yes.
If it ever was at number one,
it's
I don't
coming
know.
Coming right at you, Vic.
But it's gone at number two, and it's coming right at number four, where we think about what the Browns will do. And I've already run into five or ten people who, so what are they doing with the fourth? What are they doing with the fourth? Just your thoughts in general on how pivotal that spot is as
yeah.
a selection point.
First, taking care of your own needs, and then the spot itself. The spot becomes ridiculously important if in fact, and this is why you probably have to have contingency plans all over the place. If the Vikings stay where they are and take whoever they take, now your spot becomes valuable for a number of players that and team needs will drive someone towards you. But you got to set those scenarios up way before the draft and be ready to act upon them. I was not surprised you didn't go after Matt Flynn. I felt like when you really study Colt McCoy, you're going to say, Colt McCoy, Matt Flynn, what's the real difference there?
Same guy.
Yeah, and I think you might as well stick with your guy rather than pay a lot of money to put another one
Colt,
in the mix.
Is it fair to say, my sense is Colt, and I just get this sense talking to a lot of people, Colt might even be a better quarterback at the end of the day.
I hope he is, because you made a decision to go with him. And I like Colt McCoy, and it'll be interesting. I remember the day he was drafted, I've said it on this show before, I was sitting with Gil Brandt. The second, it was really right before he got drafted, Gil said, I hope the Browns take McCoy. And I said, why? And he said, because if he goes to a pure West Coast offense, he'll be a very good pro. If he goes to a number of other scenarios and situations, he might not be. So I think he's in the right place to get the best Colt McCoy there is. So that part of it, I'm excited for you. I would not personally be taking Ryan Tannehill or another quarterback in the four spot.
And why?
I think you got to be really careful about moving down because someone else could jump on top of it. To me, there's going to be a great player. And I hope Justin Blackmon personally is there for you guys. I don't know how the club feels about it, but to me, I think the one thing we all say about Colt is, how many weapons did he really have? I'd love to see a Justin Blackmon. I've watched a lot of his tape. Excited about the guy.
He's an exciting, dynamic player. But back to Tannehill. So is it as simple as saying this is a guy who clearly just has limited experience that played actually more snaps at receiver than quarterback and only, 20 quarterback starts?
He's got 5,000 passing yards.
Yeah.
40 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, 41 and 22 or something like that. But I like him. But the four spot is a premier spot.
It is. Not for a very raw guy like that.
Right. And I think you can't be thinking about a competitor. I think in your situation, I would be interested in the Okie State quarterback. And I wouldn't worry about his age because he's in a head-to-head battle right now. And he could find himself in a position to play. In the meantime, I'm glad you're with Colt. I'm glad you didn't jump on some of the other bandwagons that were out there.
Much has been made among Browns fans especially. They want to see, and I think this is so true, though, in most of the 32 cities or 32 teams in the league, fan bases, they want to see splash in free agency. They want to see big names. They want to see big money spent. That has not been the case with the Browns, and it hasn't been the case with the Browns in this regime. But when we look at what they've done, Frosty Rucker is brought in at defensive end, going to start on the right side opposite Jabal Sheard. And then they bring in a backup guy, Jaquay Parker from Philadelphia. And then expenditures have been extending the contract of DeQuell Jackson, a middle linebacker, which is a very sensible move. Dimitri Patterson gets a new deal. How do you assess what the Browns have done so far?
Yeah, I know.
Phil Dawson, I'm sorry,
gets it. I'd be nervous if Phil wasn't in uniform.
Yeah.
I think he's been there longer than I've been alive. No. I'd say this about Frosty. I've known Frosty since his freshman year at USC.
Right.
He's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. I think he's a role player. I think Parker will give him all he can handle when it really comes down to it and when they start really assessing them. But he's a division player, so no one knows him better than the Cleveland Browns would know him as a Bengal. So I don't have any criticism of that thing, but I understand the fans' splash request because it's hard to sell to those guys. We haven't had splash before, and look at our record. No, it's not that they want to see that, and I sense that a lot at the Jets when I was there. You can't show them a 7-9 season and show them modesty in free agency. You've got to show them something. So I get where they're coming from. I say this on our show every day to the Cleveland fans and the ones that are listening to this show, because I know they listen to you too, Vic, is They'll say, I heard you say it again, Pat. And I'll say this. Don't blame Mike Holmgren for all the sins of the past.
Right.
He has to function now with what he's doing. He knows how to build a winner. What happens to these fans is, and it happened to the Detroit fans, they attach who's ever in place to everything bad that's happened before them, and
sure.
It's not their fault.
You know Brad Childress about as well as anyone can. You guys are very, very close. And now he's aboard as offensive coordinator. And the last time you were in Berea, Brad was part of your broadcast team with your camp tour for SiriusXM with Tim Ryan. So your thoughts on the impact you think he can have on the Browns?
First off, the communication level with Mike Holmgren and Pat is terrific. They all speak the same language. They come from the same, really, football tree. That's part of it. I think Brad's ability to evaluate quarterbacks is really as good as it can get in the NFL. He also is egoless, which I think is important. Former head coach, now taking on a coordinator's job. He'll take on that job like he was never a head coach, in the sense of loyalty to Pat and to Mike and just grinding away. Because as he said to me recently, he goes, I now know and appreciate what I wanted from a coordinator. And I get a chance to be the coordinator now and give back the way I wanted it when I was a head coach. So he'll do a great job.
Great stuff. Pat, you always do a great job, and we thank you for being aboard with us.
Thanks for having me. I forced myself in here for this interview.
I love it. He is Pat Kerwin, a longtime friend, first and foremost. But you can catch his great work on SiriusXM NFL Radio on CBS Sports. Go to CBSSports.com for his writing, for his video, and great knowledge and insight as a former personnel man in the NFL. We continue on from the owners' meetings in Palm Beach, Florida, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 EA Sports. It's in the game.